we're here on, you know, at B2B Forum, and I'm here with Andrew Davis, who I first saw you speak last year at the final workshop at Content Marketing World for Content Inc. And I was just blown away by the presentation style. One, I enjoyed your high energy, but the stories, the Prezi, the way you approached it, it definitely kept me active and motivated. And an all-day workshop, that's hard. So
congratulations. That's so nice. I appreciate that. That's really nice.
And so you were talking a lot about brandscaping and the idea of these content marketing efforts that are all brought out of people with crazy ideas.
Yeah. Right?
And so that has always been something that I always equate that to you now. And so when I think of the lady with the quilt company that blew up a town in Missouri, I just like, Andrew. And so what's been going on this past year?
Oh, this year's been busy. I spend most of my time on the road speaking, so I do a lot of travel. I can't even remember where I was most recently. But in November, I used to run a digital marketing agency, and I sold that in 2012. And then I've just been speaking since then, except November of last year, I decided to start a talent agency for marketing thought leaders.
Nice.
Because I realized there were a lot of people wandering around the world speaking like me that had great ideas. They had their next big idea in mind, but they were too busy doing speaking and the stuff that they do, traveling, to come up to like actually put the effort into it. So in March, we brought on 5 speakers. And so now I've been kind of helping those speakers hone what they're working on and work on their next big idea. And it's been really, really fun. So
that sounds interesting.
It's really
because
fun.
It is something that is when you're out there and you're trying to extend your message, it's something you have to break through like you would as an author. It was a self-published author. So having a literary agent would help you then get through that. And so same way with speaking, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's very similar. I'm trying not to be a speaker's bureau. You know, there's a real easy tendency to kind of fall into just booking speaking engagements for people. So the real goal for me is to focus on the content. Like, do you have a big idea that you're working on? What is the big idea? And can we really package it in a way that it's accessible for others? And then expand and even research the idea. Like, let's dive in deeper and really figure it out. So it's been a lot of fun.
So when can we expect, like, the voice version of this? Where
that'd be great.
Anne Hanley sitting in a chair turned around, and then somebody's speaking from behind them and saying,
"Dude, we should do that.
That'd be awesome."
Let's see if we can pitch that. We'll do it at a big event next year.
I'll go figure out how to make the chair turn around.
With the button. Yeah, I love that. The voice, like the next marketing voice. I like it.
Because I think so much of the personality is in the content, the way they deliver, and not necessarily the presentation, the person who's saying it.
Yeah, like even their charisma. And there's a lot to be known there. I mean, and a lot of this you can coach. Some of it you can't. You know, some people, I think, just have it. And it is very much like the voice. We have to do that. You're going to have to be on the panel.
Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Well, I used to work with developers a lot, and I spoke and helped run local developer events. And you'd have these software guys who won't even pick up the phone and talk to somebody. And they're so passionate about what they want to talk about that it was like, let's encourage you to get in front of a user group. Let's get 10 people in front of you. And you're going to fail. You're going to bomb it. But present what you're excited about. And then within like 2 years, they're like in front of 300 people just rocking the stage.
That's great.
And it's fun to see people come out
of
that show.
It really is. It's really amazing. You know, there are a lot. I see a lot of presentations on the road, and it's one thing that I love to do. I learn a lot at these events. I like to stay and actually get a lot of my case studies and stories that I want to tell from listening to other presentations. And I've seen a lot of speakers with so many great ideas in one presentation that all they need to do is like kind of just boil it down, figure out the one they're most passionate about, and then really dive in deeper.
Yeah.
And as soon as they do that, the passion comes out, the excitement comes out, the clarity comes out, and people really do get the message. And once you see that transformation, it's amazing.
Yeah. Once you realize that people will continue this conversation with you after, right? It's like you don't have 1 hour to convince them that the building's burning. You've got a very long time, so just get them excited.
It's so true. I even when I started speaking, I used to do that. I used to just vomit everything I thought I needed to teach these people in 45 minutes. It's one of the reasons I speak so fast when I speak. It's kind of a holdover. But I think I've gotten a lot better at trying to just get one idea across at a time instead of 1,000. Like, you learned everything you need to know. This is all I know. So good luck.
Yesterday, I was taken out of my comfort zone. I pressed a workshop down into the 1 hour increment, right? So we had to do the teach me how.
Yeah,
and I'm
right.
like, well, the only way I know to teach somebody how is to get them to touch and
That's
feel
great.
The exercise. And so I had this, like, after 30 minutes, I could tell, like, the room was, like, confused. The questions they were asking already repeated three times. And I go, okay, this is like going to the gym the first time and you're working with a trainer and you're just exhausted. The point is, you know that you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And you know that work feels good and you've done work now.
Yeah.
And so now let's kind of slow down.
Yeah, good. That's so great. It's an acute skill, actually, to be able to read the audience like that and then know what to do.
Your CMO just handed you a global campaign with a short deadline and the request to lead with video. You're given a team of you and, well, you. This campaign is asking for 15 videos that need to create awareness and engagement across multiple online destinations, drive demand and lead gen, and measure performance. Whew, calm down. Everything's going to be okay. We've got you covered. First things first, we're going to set you up with Video Marketing Suite, which will allow you to access everything you need from a single online location. And it's made for marketers, so you can easily run your campaign yourself. With just a couple of clicks, your videos are uploaded, automatically optimized to work across all screens and devices. You can distribute to your social channels to reach audiences where they are, and then drive them back to a customized branded video portal using Gallery, which you can create quickly, easily, and in multiple languages. For live events, Bright Cove offers an easy-to-use live streaming interface, and after you're done streaming, trim the video and post it on demand for people who missed the event. We'll even help you create interactive elements to optimize video for lead generation. To make sense of all this, our analytics platform tracks a number of statistics in an easy-to-use UI. This data feeds into leading marketing automation platforms. You can see who watched and for how long, and what other content they consumed. Then you know what to create and who it's for. We're Bright Cove. We'll help ensure that your video marketing is a success.
So if somebody is a practitioner,
yeah,
and they're doing some amazing stuff, but they've never told the story, they've never defined their voice, what are some of those early stage things that you would teach them to help get out of that comfort zone?
I think it happens before the speaking happens even. Mm-hmm. I think it's getting really comfortable with your idea and making sure that there's something deeper than just your passion for it, but a deep understanding for it. One of my first exercises I like people to do is start doodling a framework for their idea. So no matter what you're working on or what you're trying to tell people to do, start drawing what the idea looks like. So if you were going to show it to me in a diagram or a Venn diagram or a timeline or a chart, like, show me the idea. And then the next step is kind of explain this chart to me. Like, what's your favorite doodle? And now what is, you know, explain this in steps. How can you kind of expand on what I see here and really make me understand it? And that's when I think you start to get the meat of the passionate idea and you start to find, I call them, kind of nuggets or gems in there,
yeah,
where there's like a brilliant idea encapsulated that you can actually see the idea, not just hear it. And I think that's when it starts to crystallize. So, even before you get on stage, but I think when you're thinking about presenting, a really key piece is to not try to pack everything in the first 3 minutes. I think when people build slides, they put the slides they know should be in there, and they just kind of leave that order. A key piece, I think, is getting, actually, Tamsin Snyder, I don't know if you, do you know Tamsin?
Yeah.
She's really good at this. She's really good at balancing going slow enough that you're kind of you're following her, but not too fast that you're lost, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a key piece, I think, of when people really get good at this, their pacing is just tremendous.
Yeah. And I think like a big problem is the most prolific speeches that we see given all the time are these TEDx speeches,
yeah,
or TED speeches.
Yeah.
And they're 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And the hardest, it's just like an article. The hardest thing to do is condense
totally.
An article to one page. And so those people have spoken and presented for years,
yeah,
at the hour, the 2 hour,
yeah,
increment. And so to do something in 18 minutes is very difficult. So
it's,
don't start.
Yeah, it is really, really hard. I think I do a lot of 45 minute or 60 minute or even 90 minute sessions. And that's comes very easy to me. But trying to boil something down, even when someone says, can you just do a half hour? Or I've been at events where I was at an event recently in Chicago where the meetings were, it was running so behind schedule. I was the closing keynote speaker and they asked me if I could just do it in 20 minutes. And I'm like, I did. It certainly wasn't the presentation I planned to give. I don't think it was as good as I could have given, but just that pressure was enough to make me rethink what I've got to tell these people. I've got to really simplify it. I've got to keep it extremely story driven so that they actually want to hear the end, because your tendency is when it's in the 18 minutes, tell them one thing and you can be done in 7 minutes. You're like, well, that was it. So it is really, really hard to do shorter rather than longer and do it well.
Exactly. And I think there's enough content out there. There's enough speeches that are written.
Yeah.
That you can go back and read. And the ones that were short, like how they drove message home and how they delivered it.
Yeah.
You know, and then go back and listen to those old like fireside chats or the voice on the radio things that, you know, Paul Harvey. Like the way he,
that's the rest of the story.
Exactly. I still remember sitting in the barbershop hearing Paul Harvey over there. And
great. Yeah. Yeah. I actually think we discredit a lot of what we learn from the media. There's even from a marketing standpoint, from a content marketing standpoint, there's so many opportunities to actually leverage what you consume in your everyday life on television or on the radio or in podcasts that you should be kind of extracting and applying to your profession. It's a great source of creativity.
One of the first times I realized that is I was talking to Jason about this just last podcast. I was in Haiti 2 weeks after the big earthquake.
Oh,
and we went down. We were the first Americans to go down with this group and work in an orphanage. And all of a sudden this TV crew comes in and I'm like, who are these guys? Like, oh, there was 60 minutes.
Wow.
They don't have anywhere to be because there's no electricity. They got to keep their batteries charged. So we're going to keep them here. And so for a week, I'm hanging out and hanging with these kids, but then I'm also hanging with these producers and
that's
camera guys
really
from 60 Minutes. And I asked them all the story questions, right? And they didn't know how to use their cameras, like their regular cameras well, so I was teaching them about photography and stuff. And it was just fun. And so I go back and I just become addicted to 60 Minutes.
Isn't it an amazing show?
And then you learn, like, Sunday morning, I was like, what is this? I didn't even know this thing existed, right? Saturday morning is what I cared about, right? But then Sunday morning, and you see that, you know, now the change of the hat.
Yeah.
To Jane
Pauley.
Exactly.
And CBS Sunday Morning is one of the most amazing pieces of storytelling, I think, in the media today. And it's been around a long time. It's beautifully done. 60 Minutes, I mean, is another bastion of wonderful, like, media stuff.
Exactly. But that always reminds me of when you started podcasting again, right?
Yeah.
At Content Marketing Institute. I remember being in the gym, and it's just like, all right, here's Andrew Davis' podcast. We're putting it out on the network. And I go, and I was at the gym, and I pulled it in. I'm sitting down, and all of a sudden I hear music and, like, and different things. And it was like this story being told, and it was like going around. I'm like, there's something here, right?
That's so
I was,
great.
Like, into it. I'm like, this is great. So,
man, I feel so bad that I had a really nice core group of people that really loved that show. And anytime I meet one, someone like you, I feel so guilty that I didn't stick with it. But I love that kind of storytelling. And I'm actually a big NPR fan. I don't know if you listen to a lot of NPR shows or public radio shows. And, I just love their storytelling style. And I do think that podcasting is really ripe for some new storytelling styles like that. Jay Akunzo's Unthinkable shows like that. It feels that way. I think there's so much room for new and, you know, innovative marketing thinking when it comes to that kind of content creation. And if we take more inspiration from shows like CBS Sunday Morning or 60 Minutes, what could that look like?
But you got to realize, like, in 60 Minutes, the crew that does, like, a 10-minute segment, they have 6 to 8 weeks to work on that. And they have so many different crews that are putting together all these shows. And, like, the anchor will come in and he's there on ground for one day. Yeah, but the other team's there for a few weeks capturing all the B-roll and getting the stories and finding it. So I keep thinking back because everybody talks about podcasting and they get on this weekly, like, sitcom base.
Right.
We got to release like everyone else does on TV. And I go, TV's being disrupted right now by things like Netflix.
Yeah.
Where, you know, or Amazon. Like, they have this Sneaky Pete show that they did one pilot for a year ago. And everybody watched it and was like, dude, I want to see Giovanni again, right? And now they took that feedback, and now they're building the whole season for it. But it is, it's going to be a season. They're going to drop it, and then it's going to wait a while.
Yeah.
And I think content, like the stuff you're producing, it is so heavy. It is so time-consuming that when you think of a weekly schedule, it's scary, and it's like, I can't do this. But if you think of it as, like, a five-episode series, and then we're going to talk about another, like a book, like a chapter or whatever, then you can start to tackle those fun ideas. Like
I mean, I think we have to rethink that, you know, I really do believe that just creating more of the stuff more often doesn't necessarily net a better result. Amazon and Netflix are great examples of brands that I think really do understand the opportunity to leverage the digital world to test what works rapidly, then decide what to invest in and invest in big chunks to make a big enough impact that lasts long enough. And I think the refresh rate is a really interesting question, right? Like, how often do you need to drop a new season of whatever new show it is, and let people either consume it on their own, or even is there somewhere in between where you drip out, you know, 13 episodes over 13 weeks that feels like old television, even has an appointment with the consumer, but builds to something else, even if there is a break. Is that doable, and what does it look like? And
because
we could do that.
Your audience, like if you said you were going to do it again, you're just going to do six episodes.
Yeah.
Seriously. You're going to email, you're going to put it on Twitter stuff. We're all going to go subscribe. You're ready for it.
Right.
You just got to do the buildup.
Yeah, right.
And you got to say, okay, my audience is still here. We're just going to interact with them in new ways and change up the format.
Today, real time is the only time that counts. To stay relevant, you have to stay ahead. Your customers want the right information, right now, wherever they are. So, how do you meet the demands of today's customers? By marketing in context. Context accounts for a customer's interaction with your brand. So each touch builds on the next, creating more meaningful experiences for your customers. At Sitecore, we call this context marketing. To do it well, you need marketing technology that has three things: contextual intelligence, content management, and omni-channel automation. Contextual intelligence gives you the information you need about your consumers, so the content you manage is more relevant and is automatically delivered wherever your customers are. The Sitecore Experience platform was built for context marketing, so you can create a more personalized customer experience. Demand more from your marketing technology. Demand more from marketing. Own the experience. Sitecore.
So I have this whole theory, actually, about how you can bridge gaps between, you know, even television content. And I used to work in television, so I used to work at the Today Show. I used to work for Charles Perrault, who was, you know, the CBS Sunday morning anchor. And I like what television networks are really good at is building anticipation. And you can actually bridge the gaps between really great pieces of content by building anticipation into the next one, and actually maintaining inspiration out of the old one, so that you have this kind of overlap, you know? And I think that it's very, very easy to believe that you don't need daily and weekly content. And actually, there are brands that do it, like DC Shoes. Do you know those guys?
Oh, yeah.
They do that. They do their epic Hollywood, the epic. What's it called? Where you drive the cars and they spin around? Oh my lord! And now I sound like such an old guy.
Yeah, no, the bumper cars.
No, bumper cars would be really funny, but it's drifting.
Oh yeah, drifting.
They do a drifting movie every year. DC Shoes partners with a bunch of brands, and every year for 8 years they've done an epic, hugely production-intensive 10-12-minute movie about drifting, and it's hugely successful from a marketing standpoint. They only do it once a year, and as soon as that movie comes out, they've built so much anticipation for it. Over the course of the last year, they've teased it. They've said, we're shooting at Universal Studios. We're shooting in a gorilla costume. Over a year, that every time I get that email, I cannot wait to click. I'm like, finally, this thing is out.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about it because they built anticipation into it. And then there's a long honeymoon period. And then they maintain that inspiration and say, here's some behind-the-scenes stuff. But they don't do it immediately after. They do it 3 months afterwards when they're starting to die down, and then they build into the next one. It's amazing.
So, I mean, imagine right now, right? We all know House of Cards Season 5 is coming out in February.
Yeah.
We're all kind of frustrated with this election.
Yeah.
Netflix did do a small like trailer back in August. Imagine this week if they drop it.
Yes.
During one of the debates or whatever on the show, it's like, and it's like Miss Me Now or something like that. And it's like, dude.
That's building anticipation. And I think if we think more about building anticipation for great marketing, you'll end up with better marketing, bigger results, and even better feedback on the stuff you're creating.
Exactly. But then you got shows like Homeland, where every September they released it, and now it's like, oh, well, crap, September's over. Exactly. It's October. Where's it at? And it's like, January, you're like, dude, I have to resubscribe to Showtime
just
to
so
get,
I can
this. Right? And you moved it on me. It's like, you didn't tell me. I had to go search for it. So I think that's the thing.
So, I mean, it is a dichotomy, right? Like, there's this, I'm a big believer in making an appointment with your audience, right? Like, tell me when I'm going to get this content. I may not consume it at that point, but if you're setting an appointment with you, deliver on the appointment and don't change it. Like, that's when you're, and in television, that's like a golden rule, right? Don't move the show because people are tuning in on Wednesday nights to see the show. If you move it to Sunday, you really ruin the show. And I think, you know, that's kind of a battle with this constant creation of content. And then on top of it, we need to be always on everywhere. You know, I think we do need to prioritize and set some, you know, real goals of where we're going.
One of the best examples is this year we watched The Middle and then we watched The Goldbergs.
Yeah.
And they moved The Middle to Tuesday instead of Wednesday. And they had Brick in the Goldbergs' house. And she walks, the mom walks in, and she goes, oh, honey, what are you doing here? It's like, and so they played like, he was still at the old time.
See, that's funny.
And it's like, okay, yeah, you brought humor in, but immediately I was like, Middle Tuesday, go into Google Fiber, tell it to re-record.
Right, exactly. Like, I've got to rethink this out.
But they set an appointment to have me not fast forward through it because I thought I was watching the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
But to actually watch it.
And I think it's really intelligent and creative marketing. Yeah. I like it.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah,
and I know
thank you, man.
That you need to go out and be with the rest of the people.
This has been really fun. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome.